On a fine autumn afternoon, Ichabod, in a thoughtful mood, sat on a high wooden stool overlooking his classroom. In his hand he held a ruler, a constant reminder to evildoers. All his scholars were busily intent upon their books, or slyly whispering behind them with one eye on the master. A kind of buzzing stillness reigned over the classroom. Suddenly, it was interrupted by the appearance of a messenger. He came scrambling up to the school door with an invitation to Ichabod to attend a dance that very evening at the Van Tassel's home. All was now hustle and bustle in the late afternoon schoolroom. The scholars were quickly hurried through their lessons. Books were flung aside without being put away on the shelves. Inkstands were overturned, benches thrown down, and the whole school was let out an hour before the usual time. Ichabod now spent at least an extra half hour brushing up his only suit of rusty black. He carefully arranged his hair using a bit of a broken looking glass that hung in the schoolhouse. He borrowed a horse from the farmer with whom he was lodged, an old Dutchman named Hans van Ripper. Thus, gallantly mounted, he rode forth like a knight of old in search of adventure. The animal he was given was a broken-down plow horse that had outlived almost everything but its viciousness. He was thin and shaggy, with a long neck and a head like a hammer. One eye had lost its pupil and was glaring, but the other had the gleam of a real devil in it. He must have been fiery in his day, if we may judge from the name he was given, Gunpowder. Ichabod was a suitable figure for such a horse. He rode with short stirrups, which brought his knees nearly up to the saddle. His sharp elbows stuck out like grasshoppers. As his horse jogged on, the motion of his arms was like the flapping of a pair of wings. A small wool hat came down to the top of his nose, and the back of his black coat fluttered out almost to the horse's tail. Ichabod and his horse were a sight as seldom ever seen in broad daylight. It was toward evening that Ichabod arrived at the Van Tassels' home. Farmers and their wives, sons and their daughters, all dressed in their best, were present. Brom Bones, however, was the hero of the scene. He had come to the gathering on his favorite horse, Daredevil, a creature like himself, full of spirit and mischief. Ichabod entered and gazed lovingly upon the platters of delights that were served. There were cakes of every possible kind and description. And then there were pies, apple, berry, cherry, and mince. There were slices of ham and smoked beef, and dishes of plums and peaches and pears, not to mention broiled fish and roasted chickens. Ichabod could not help rolling his eyes around him as he ate. He chuckled with the thought that one day he might be the lord of all this luxury and splendor. And now the sound of music from the hall summoned them to dance. Ichabod prided himself upon his dancing as much as upon his singing. Not a limb of him was idle as he clattered noisily about the room, his loose frame flapping in full motion. And why should he not be happy? For the lady of his heart, Katrina, was his partner while Brom Bones sat jealously brooding in the corner. When the dance was at an end, Ichabod joined a group of folks who, with old Van Tassel, told long stories about the war. This neighborhood, you see, was one of those historic places known for great men. The British and the American line had run near it during the war. But these stories were nothing compared to the tales of ghosts that followed. Most of them centered upon the famous Headless Horseman of Sleepy Hollow. It seems he had been heard several times of late, patrolling the countryside. All this talk sank deep into the mind of Ichabod Crane. The party now gradually broke up. The farmers gathered together their families in their wagons and headed homeward. Ichabod lingered to have a few words with Katrina. Something must have gone very wrong, however, for he suddenly left very quickly and quite unhappily. It was the very witching time of night when Ichabod pursued his travels home. In the dead hush of midnight, he could hear the barking of the watchdog from the opposite side of the Hudson. There was no sign of life, only the occasional chirp of a cricket or the twang of a bullfrog. All the stories of ghosts and goblins that he had heard now came rushing back to him. The night grew darker and darker. The stars seemed to sink deeper in the sky, and the clouds occasionally hid them from sight. He had never felt so lonely and dismal. Moreover, he was approaching the place where many of the scenes of the ghost stories had taken place.